got my bags packed, I'm on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 411. Today we go above the timberline and we talk about polar bears and beluga whales as we go to Arctic Manitoba. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's episode, I do have two news stories for you. The big news story this week is the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. I won't try and explain what happened there because, again, I live in the past and you live in the future, so you probably know more about that than I do. But an interesting wrinkle in this story is, because this story is so weird, the dark humor has come perhaps a bit early in this process. And I refer to an article from The Onion that says Malaysian Airlines expands investigation to include general scope of space and time. The article has lines like this: at this stage, we can't rule anything out, not crew interference, not the transponders, not a catastrophic electrical failure, not the emergence of a complex topological feature of space-time such as an Einstein-Rosen bridge that could have deposited the flight at any location in the universe or a different time period altogether. And I have to wonder where there are families who are still wondering what has gone on to their loved ones, whether this might be too soon. And in another odd story, but an interesting and upbeat one, police in Granada, Spain now have Twitter handles on their uniforms. And I assume in addition to their name on there, you can also find the Twitter handle of police. So if you have a particularly good or possibly bad experience with a particular police officer, you can make that known on Twitter. For links to both those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. This is another self-sponsored episode. We've been talking about credit cards, and you can find new travel credit cards by going to amateurtraveler.com/credit card. I told you a story last week about getting stuck in Germany with a card without a smart chip. I learned more this week and wrote an article on Amateur Traveler about the trouble with American credit cards and what the plans are for chip and PIN credit cards in the U.S. Check that out on the Amateur Traveler. I'd like to welcome to the show Mary Beth Bond, who is a National Geographic author and writer and the founder of Gutsy Traveler at gutsytraveler.com. And she has come to talk to us about polar bears. Mary Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
And I say talk about polar bears. We always talk about a travel destination. What destination do you have in mind?
Oh, the polar region. Sometimes when people think polar bears, they think Alaska. But I'm going to talk to you about the Canadian polar area, which is Manitoba and specifically Churchill. And you may wonder, where is that? So you go to the middle of the United States. You can fly 2 hours to Winnipeg from Denver. You can fly up from Minneapolis or from Chicago. You just go straight north. And it's one of the great areas for viewing polar bears.
Well, I think when people get to the northern edge of the U.S., they feel like they're fairly far north. There's a whole lot of north of there. And we're going, how many miles do you know roughly from the U.S. border up to where you're talking about?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know that the Hudson Bay is at 59 degrees north latitude. So it's a true wilderness area. It's miles and miles from human habitation. And I don't know if 2 hours would be 1,000 miles just to Winnipeg. And then from Winnipeg, I stayed overnight and then took a little tundra plane, a private plane, the next day to get to an even more remote lodge way up the west area of Hudson Bay. So I'd say 1,500 miles. When you get that far up, there's nothing. The silence is amazing. It's nothing but you all the way to the North Pole. And it's so open, so raw, so wild. It's a totally different experience than being in the Rocky Mountains or the Sierra Nevadas or even the Himalayas. It's truly an amazing experience to be so far away and living right where these amazing creatures live. Often when we think of polar bears, of course, we think of cuddly little animals, but they are not. They certainly aren't. They're known to hunt for almost everything they eat. Plants rarely show up in their diet. And our guide, when we were there, Terry, said something very interesting. He said, in a fight with the grizzly, I'd put my money on the polar bear.
Well, they're quite large, too.
They're large. They're heavy. They're beautiful, but they are very comfortable with the dominant role that they play in the Arctic, which is one of the world's harshest environment. So no matter how cuddly and beautiful they look, you're reminded to never walk outside the lodge or in any place that isn't fenced in, because they're beautiful to photograph. They're beautiful to watch. We watch them swimming in the water up to our zodiac and then back to shore.
Oh, my.
We saw them as close as coming to the lodge. They were outside a fenced area, and I could feel the polar bear's breath. I have photos of the insects, little mosquitoes on his head. It was just amazing to get so close. But all the time, there were our guides with guns and pepper spray and everything else behind us, because it's still a very wild environment.
Now, is there any truth that polar bear's breath smells like unwary tourists?
I don't know. That's a good one. I wonder what they think of our breath.
So what led you to go up to this? This isn't someplace that you just happen to be in the neighborhood. So you made a very specific, why there? Why Manitoba?
Well, Chris, I search out these kind of experiences. I'm the gutsy traveler, and I've been to 7 continents now and over 100 countries. And I really like raw nature and beauty and animals. And Churchill is the only place where you can see polar bears. And I went to a lodge, Churchill Wild, which is the only company on the planet that specializes in ground level walking tours. So I wanted to get out there and track the polar bears with my camera. I never imagined that I could walk among them in the wild and be as close as I ever imagined and as close as allowed to get. So I wanted to go and see this. And then there was a second reason for going in the summer, and that was the beluga whales. Mm. And I'd love to talk about that too at some point. And least you think that I go everywhere in the world, which I do, but I should let you know right now that this trip, of course, was I was a journalist and I was sponsored by Travel Manitoba. It was an area I didn't know at all, beautiful province, and by Churchill Wild, which is the owner of the remote luxury lodge where I stayed. And I really felt like I was going to the outer limits of this planet when I felt this sense of adventure on a July morning when I looked down from the plane as we flew north from Manitoba and crossed the tree line into the North American Arctic. I'd completely left behind the checkered fields of green wheat, the ripening tomatoes, the dense clusters of houses and skyscrapers. And ahead only lay the open, wild landscapes inhabited by polar bears. And when I landed in this little seaplane on the shores at the Churchill Wild Lodge, I got out. And the smell was a little bit like that at low tide, that briny smell of oysters. Mm-hmm. And I stepped onto the gravel landing strip and I thought, oh my gosh, there's nothing here. I felt this sense of being very vulnerable. It's empty as far as you could see. Well, how wrong I was, as the tide came in and there's marine life and there's a lot of other things you can see. But the feeling of being really outside, perhaps my comfort zone, too. I mean, we were met at the airplane with our guides who were wearing guns and noisemakers, etc. I like that. I like feeling on the edge like that.
Now, I find that the more you talk, the more I have to reshape my mental image of what we were talking about. Because you said polar bears, I immediately pictured snow and I pictured tall pine trees and such. But you're north of the tree line, so no trees at all for miles.
That's right. No trees at all.
And you're within summertime.
Of course, there are a lot of ways to see the polar bears. You can go in the fall or mm-hmm. even in the winter and in the comfort of a tundra vehicle. Perhaps those are pictures you've seen. It's a big mm-hmm. vehicle where you kind of stand at the window and look at them.
And those are large cat vehicles with tracks?
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so you photograph polar bears that are right next to the vehicle mm-hmm. and against the white snow. And I wanted to go to a wilderness lodge built right on their migration route, built right on the shore, to see them in their natural habitat. And in the summer, there's the advantage of the whales, too. But the polar bears, of course, like to be out on the ice floes because that's where their food is, the seals. But come June and July, the ice floes break up and the bears are forced onto land. So they live very close to the shore because the insects inland are pretty brutal. And also they can still occasionally get a seal or a small beluga whale to eat right on the shores. So you can see them with a kill. You can see mothers with cubs, and they're ambling around. They swim in the water. They're going out in the water because they're looking for the beluga whales. And in July, it's wonderful to see them against the purple fireweed and against the rocks and the green bushes of islands or the shore. So I thought it was great to go in the summer, but there are lots of ways to go and lots of different times during the seasons.
And you mentioned beluga whales. So I'm not sure that everyone can picture what a beluga whale even looks like, first of all.
Oh, gosh. It's one of the few whales that seems to always be smiling. The white whale with the smile. And I was in a Zodiac, and I was pushing my camera, so I was taking like 10 shots a second. Boom, 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 as I wanted to get one great picture of the beluga's head out. It was so easy because we saw so many. But the beluga whale has that permanent smile, and it's one of the few whales that can turn its head from side to side. And I really wanted to go in the summer when I could go out in a Zodiac, which we did, wear a dry suit, and we went out to the Seal River Estuary. It was a short boat ride from Churchill Wild Lodge, and it's the summer home to thousands of beluga whales, and they choose this warmer and shallow water of Hudson Bay for feeding, relaxing, and for calving. And so in turn, they attract the great white bears. But the Arctic can seem like it's completely silent. We had some really nice weather. I was there in the end of July. So we're perched on this Zodiac. It seems so quiet and so calm. And then Andy, our guide, lowered a hydrophone into the water. And we heard the sound of the whales. They are nicknamed the canary whales. We heard clicks and bird-like trills and harmonics. The whales were chatting, and they were waiting for us. And so I put on a dry suit. And I have to tell you, my heart was really thumping. I had some trepidation about this. I thought, I'm going into this water that's 33, 34
I was going to say, when you said it was the warmer water of Hudson Bay, I thought, let's not confuse that with the warm water of the Hudson Bay. There, it's only warmer because they're coming from further north.
Yeah, and that the ice is broken up.
Yeah, right.
So I was
warm like a margarita warm. Yeah.
Yeah, slushy. So I put on a dry suit, got instructions from the guide, climbed over the side of the Zodiac. He kind of blew up the dry suit a little bit. So I was like the Michelin man, all pumped up, put my face in the water with a snorkel. And they let out the rope that was tied to my ankles. So now I'm being dragged very slowly backwards by the Zodiac. Very strange and vulnerable feeling. Face in the water. It's kind of cloudy. And they said, sing, hum. That will attract the whales. So I started to sing and to hum. And my goodness, I mean, it was amazing. All of a sudden, from the gray and the cloudy water before, there were ghost-like shadows that floated below me. And then there were six whales that swam into my field of vision. And one of the curious fellows came right up to my face. And he had markings on his nose. And he twirled his body below me, turning his neck, twisting his body as if he was looking at me. So I was eyeball to eyeball with a beluga whale. We looked at each other quizzically. I have to tell you, it was a peak life experience to be that close and to have that personal contact. I felt like I was communicating with them because when I sang, they'd come and they kept coming back. And they're such gentle ones. And then I saw a mother with a little baby who came up close. That and photographing the polar bears, tell you, it was worth the whole trip. It was just an amazing life experience in nature, up close and personal with really magnificent creatures.
Yeah, a couple questions. Size. I'm picturing a beluga whale being one of the smaller of the whale family. So we're talking, and I want to say 12 to 16 feet long.
Yeah, they're not like humpbacks.
Right, right.
They're okay. Not that big.
And then I'm assuming that one of the reasons they put you in water, for instance, where there weren't whales and you had to attract them, is that Canada being one of those places is very good in terms of how they deal with wildlife. They're not going to just drop you in the middle of a pack of whales. The whales have to decide whether they're in the mood to play.
That's right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you can see them. We saw them all along beside our Zodiac. But when you stop, it doesn't mean that they're going to come up to your Zodiac.
Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, some days you may not see any. These are wild animals. They're not domesticated or anything like that. This is not the swim with dolphins experience at the resort. So
No, absolutely true. And our guides are on the Zodiac and watching the shore to make sure that a bear doesn't come down to the shore and decide to take a swim out.
Well, was the next question is.
So there's this sense of adventure. I mean, really on the cutting edge adventure. And that's why the Canadian Arctic is so exciting. And it's so close to the United States. And the people in Canada, as you know, if you've been there, are so friendly.
Right.
And the food is so good. The hosts that started this family-owned and operated lodge have over 100 years in Arctic travel experience, Mike and Jeannie Reamer. And when you go to a place like this, it's so remote. I mean, no roads. You don't hear any cars, no trains.
I assume it's completely supplied by air, too.
It's and very little by air. Every winter, and it's fun to see his slides, Mike takes a snowcat across Hudson Bay and brings in supplies.
Oh, my.
And he built the lodge himself. And no one knows Hudson Bay and the coast like they do. And everything they make there, he's shot himself. So you have wonderful caribou with reduced vinaigrette and blueberry sauce on it. You have blueberry muffins with blueberries that they've picked wild in the area. They make homemade bread. Everything's done right there. But they bring in fresh fruit and all by plane. But it's so expensive. So a lot of it's right. Resupplied by snowcat in the winter. So it's a whole other way of life, and they're so friendly.
Well, and with the expense that for getting the supplies, we're no longer talking about a budget vacation.
No, it is expensive, yes. And it's also, in my opinion, it's one of those experiences of a lifetime, and it's worth every penny. It will last forever. When I came back and started showing my friends my photographs, I must have told the story 100 times in the first month. If this is a dream of yours, then it's a real must. It's just an amazing experience, and you can't take a bad picture. You're not allowed to approach closer than about 30 feet mm-hmm. when you go out hiking. However, occasionally a polar bear comes up to the lodge, and we were fortunate enough to have this happen. And he was outside the front door, and he came by the barred windows. And that's how there was a viewing platform outside the lodge that we were able to stand on. And he was curious and stood up against it, sniffing and turning his head. And that's how we got so, so close for amazing photographs and videos.
I love how she just glosses over the barred windows. That is not to prevent people from coming in and stealing things from the lodge, because there's no neighbors for miles here, right?
That's right. It's to keep the polar bears out and the guests in. From the time you arrive, you say, I'm in the zoo. You are in a fenced-in area. So it's what an experience to feel I'm in the wilderness and I'm fenced in for my safety. And at night, they put these, they call it the Manitoba welcome mats. They put them over the windows, and what they are is just a huge board with nails coming out of them so that the bears don't get curious and smash a window or something at night. Yes, really.
So you're really trying to live up to the gutsy traveler name here is what you're telling us here.
But I'll tell you, you need to read what they tell you to bring very carefully. Make sure you get the list of things from the lodge before you travel, because the bugs will get you. I had one of those bug suits that covered my face, my head, my arms, my legs.
So this is like, you looked like a beekeeper? Is that what I'm picturing here?
Yes, I have a picture of myself. I look like a beekeeper. It was so funny. And they weren't even very bad when I was there. In fact, many days I didn't wear that, but one or two days when we were out hiking, I did wear it. You want to be prepared with the right clothes, although a lot of the equipment is provided by the lodge, big good waterproof hiking boots as well as the dry suits. But they tell you to bring a mosquito net, a mosquito hat, etc., and you bring your own mosquito bug spray and antihistamines and etc., because this is the wild.
And do they also advise, for instance, travelers ease up on the aftershave and things like that before you go out in the amongst the polar bears, or are there other restrictions that they advise?
Oh, you have quite a safety talk. I don't think it's what you smell like when you go out, because you're not getting that close to the polar bears, but it's your behavior. Mm-hmm. So we learn you always stay behind the guides, and the guides have not had a bad experience, nor at Churchill Wild Lodge have they had a summer where they haven't had 100% success rate for seeing polar bears by land and by sea. But they want to protect those bears. They're very, very eco-conscious. Right. So they keep you back. And you stay back, and we watched one bear with its kill. It probably had a small whale. And as we got close, it got up and sniffed, and so we moved back. At no time did I feel unsafe.
But I'm thinking you're going to want a telephoto lens, for instance. Is there anything else that you would recommend that people pack for a trip like this?
More film. Yeah, maybe an extra disc.
Okay. What surprised you about the trip? You've done wildlife trips before.
I could be a very jaded traveler. I was surprised at how thrilled I was by the experience. I came out of the water of being face to face with a beluga whale, and I was just going, that is a peak life experience. When the polar bear was right outside the lodge, how thrilled I was, how much I learned about the Arctic and the plants and the flora and the fauna and the polar bears and the seals and the ecosystem, but just how thrilling the experience was. I was surprised by how peaceful it made me feel. It made me feel that there are still huge expanses of this earth that are pristine and serene. We saw the northern lights one night. We'd sit quietly and watch the sunset at 11 p.m. It's wonderful to get so remote. I think that I was surprised by how much my soul craved that experience.
Excellent. I've got a few last questions as we go to wrap this up, but what else would you want people to know before they book their passage further north for this summer to go see polar bears and beluga whales?
Churchill and Manitoba are a very popular destination for wildlife enthusiasts from around the world. Mm. In our group, we had people from England and Germany and Australia and Brazil. So book well in advance.
I wondered, as I said this summer, if I was being overly optimistic. Okay.
I think you'd be okay for this summer, but I would book now.
Interesting. The picture that most brings back the trip to you.
There was a young boy of a family, and he was about 8 years old, and he was sitting quietly with this tiny little brownie camera watching the bear. And he turned to me and he said, "Can we ride him?" It was so precious. It was just such a beautiful scene with this enthusiastic child and the wilderness and just the beauty of the earth and of nature.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in the Canadian Arctic.
The hors d'oeuvres and the wine we were served, the food. I mean, Canadian wine is wonderful. And at Churchill Wild, they specialize in having different Canadian wines every night. So you have a wine tasting. I went, only in the Canadian Arctic. Could you be comparing numerous fabulous wines from the Okanagan River Valley, etc.?
Excellent. Last two questions. Finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Arctic Manitoba when what?
You really know you're in Arctic Manitoba when you sit down for a meal and someone yells, "Bear is coming! Bear is coming!" And everyone rushes to the windows with their cameras and binoculars. Or you hear someone knocking on the doors at night. The northern lights are out! The northern lights are out! And you jump out of bed and run to the viewing platform to watch them in silence.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize the whole experience in three words, what three words would you use?
Amazing Arctic wildlife.
Excellent. Mary Beth, where can people read more about your travels?
Oh, you can find me in lots of adventures on gutsytraveler.com.
And you mentioned you've written how many books now for National Geographic?
I did 3 books for National Geographic, and I've done 9 books for Traveler's Tales.
Excellent. And your favorite of all of those, if you had to pick one of your children at this point and say people who want to read one of your books should start with which one?
Well, your firstborn is always the one that is the most memorable, and that would be A Woman's World. It won the Lowell Thomas Award Gold for the best travel book of the year, and it's a book of stories about women's adventures and our point of view of the world and the way we travel through it.
Excellent. Mary Beth, thanks so much for coming on the show. Again, our guest is Mary Beth Bond, National Geographic author and writer and founder of Gutsy Traveler at gutsytraveler.com. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your wonderful enthusiasm for the Manitoba Arctic.
My pleasure.
In news of the community this week, I heard from John, who said, love the show. Perhaps you can make a news story about the Malaysian Airlines MH370 airplane. If you're unaware, the airplane was lost from the radar while carrying 229 passengers, and it is still missing. It is as if it vanishes into thin air. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I mentioned to John also, one of the reasons that I don't get into more topical, and in this case, more important news, and that really is the case with this particular story, is that people will be listening to this episode for years. And in some ways, when I start dealing with news stories like this, and especially news stories that we don't understand yet, it really does date the show. And so I try and make the show have a longer value by focusing a little more on some of the quirky stories rather than as much on the headline news. I heard from Spencer, who had a short but wonderful compliment on the episode we did on Indonesia last week. This podcast made me look at plane tickets to Indonesia. That is what I'm looking for. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. Remember, if you're looking for a new credit card, amateurtraveler.com/credit card. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also join the Facebook community or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And speaking of Twitter, if you're on Twitter and you want to tell people how much you love the show, just go to amateurtraveler.com/love. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.